Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. The book of Hebrews in chapter 5. We'll begin reading there in verse 5 and read down through verse 9. Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I want you to notice there, verse 8, it says, Though he were a son, capital S, he's God the Son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Here is God the Son, learning obedience by the things which he suffered. That's very important for us to understand. And we're going to look at this verse and we're going to try to dissect it and put it into our understanding as why God the Son would learn from obedience by the things which he suffered. We're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. We'll read through to the end of the chapter here. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glorious is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And then let's look back to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Verse 9 says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then let's look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5 says, For as the sufferings of Christ, notice this, abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. Now we're going to hopefully get you to understand this scripture, that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to guide us. Help our understanding today. Help us to see the things that we need to see and understand these important things in the scripture, the suffering Savior. We just thank you for it. Thank you for all that you have done for us. If there be any here today who do not know Christ as Savior, may they not leave in that condition. May they come to know him and get it settled today. We're thankful for all that you do in our lives, and we ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. We know little of the life of Christ up until he was 30 years of age. 30 years of age, he began his earthly ministry, and we have a lot recorded in the scriptures about him. Not much in the first years of his life, but we know that he went through a lot of the sufferings and endured the things that we endure. But the suffering that's referred to here in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 is mostly referring to the cross and his earthly ministry and the struggles that he had with the religious leaders, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, Matthew 16, verse 21. We know that he suffered greatly on the cross. John chapter 21, verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. You remember John the Apostle wrote that. John was the Apostle very close to the Lord, and his book speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is God. And I used to look at this verse and think, well, you know, he would have had to do a tremendous great lot in his 33 years that he walked upon this earth to have even the books that couldn't contain. But then when you realize that John wrote of his deity, that he is God the Son, he is eternal, he always was and he ever shall be, then you can see that if everything was written about him, the books could not contain, this world couldn't contain the books that would be written. John knew the deity of Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus was God. And he wrote of that in his gospel. And so the suffering here we find in Hebrews, as I said, mainly refers to the cross and to his earthly ministry. We can see him when he comes to the time of the cross, the agony in the garden. You remember he sweat, as it were, great drops of tears falling down to the ground. He had prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The very thought of him becoming sin for us, taking our place, to he who knew no sin to become sin, was a great grief to his heart to become sin, but he was willing. There was no other way. Three times he prayed that prayer. There was no other way that our sins could be forgiven than for Jesus Christ to become sin for us and to take our place and to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. He suffered greatly there in the garden as he prayed. When he was arrested, you remember the Bible tells us that the high priest struck him in the face. Then, as they took him to the various trial through the night, to the trial through the night, in the middle of the night, they tried him. They spit in his face. They buffeted him, which means you take the fist and you hit with your fist. They buffeted him. They covered his face. You remember the scripture records for us, they covered his face and then they slapped him, and then they said, "Prophesy, tell us who hit thee. Who was it that hit thee?" They mocked him. He was turned over to the Roman soldiers. They took him to Pilate. The Roman soldiers scourged him. They had a cat of nine tails, and there would be bits of iron, bits of bone, bits of glass they would place on the end of these nine tails, of the cat of nine tails, and they would lash the back, and they would rip the skin away, and the back would bleed. Sometimes they said those who were scourged would die under the scourging. They wouldn't survive. And that's probably the reason that Jesus was so weak, that he fell beneath the load of the cross from the terribleness of the scourging in his back. Sometimes you could see portions of the ribs, that the flesh would be ripped away. He suffered so greatly there. Then he was handed over to the soldier after the scourging. They mocked him. They put a purple robe upon him. In John chapter 19, first few verses. They put a purple robe upon him, the robe of a king. Probably found an old robe they had around there, or borrowed one from somewhere. Platted a crown of thorns. They made a crown of thorns, and they placed it upon his head, pushed it down. It would be blood dripping from his head. They continued to spit in his face, and so the blood is running with his face filled with spittle as he's suffering there for us. They gave him a scepter, which was a rod or a stick that usually was a fancy stick that the kings would use, the royal scepter. They gave him some type of a scepter. And then they bowed down to him and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And were mocking him. And then they would take the stick from his hand and hit him with the stick. Continue to spit in his face. Curse his holy name. And there he stands in mockery, with the spittle running down his face, the blood running down his back and through over his head. They placed him on the cross. They drove the nails in his hands and in his feet. The cross would dehydrate a person. He said, "I thirst," and they gave him vinegar to drink. They mocked him on the cross. The thieves railed upon him, but finally one thief saw that this man was different. He cried out to the Lord to forgive him, and the Lord said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." But they continued to mock him, shame him on the cross. But don't forget something. The Bible tells us that he was leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So we're going to see if we can understand this learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 5, we read where the Bible says very clearly here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Mary left us an example. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We see here in this passage of Scripture that suffering should produce humility and death to self. Death to self. When we see how he suffered for us, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, we find that suffering should bring us to death of self. It should bring us to the death of self. Look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are to follow his example. And his example is a death to self, the die to self. We should go through that suffering of not putting ourselves first, not wanting our own way, not wanting our own things, not what we want, but what he wants. Just as he did all things to please the Father, we are to do all things to please him. A death to self. We should learn from suffering, to suffer for his sake. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. First Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Suffering should produce ceasing from sin and seeking the will of God. Turning from sin and seeking the will of God. He was putting an end to sins on the cross by the things which he suffered. Now notice James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verses 2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Suffering should mature us in the Lord. Suffering should make us, like it says, perfect, entire, wanting nothing, full grown. It grows us up. Jesus, there on the cross, won the victory over sin. And suffering should produce maturity in the Lord for us if we follow his example. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Suffering should strengthen us to stand for the Lord, despising the shame. We are willing to take shame for his name. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, prunes it, he brings in suffering, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Suffering should produce fruit. It should be make us greater witnesses. Isn't that his example? Through the suffering of the cross, salvation is provided for all men. All can come to the truth of the gospel if they just will, because he suffered for us. Suffering should produce fruit. In other words, we should be willing to suffer to produce fruit. You remember Lot? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Lot, back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed. That means, that word vexed has the idea of to wear down with toil, to exhaust. He was just vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Well, what happened to Lot? He was taken out. You remember Abraham prayed that God wouldn't destroy. He asked the Lord. He got all the way down to 10. If there were just 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare it? He thought surely. I'm sure that Abraham thought surely that there was Lot, there was his wife, there was his two daughters, there were his sons-in-laws. We don't know how many for sure of those, but it said plural. So I'm sure that Abraham probably counted up his family and said, well, there's 10 there, and he left it there. Lot, living down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, surely should have been able to reach 10 people out of that great number of people that lived there. You see, Lot vexed his righteous soul, but he did nothing really to share the good news of his God and his Savior with those people. He didn't do it. And what happened? He was taken out. He was taken out. That's something for us to think about. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, you're familiar with this passage. Some of the last words of our Lord that he left with us here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Remember, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. We are commanded to go with the gospel. The purpose, the major purpose of his suffering was to provide for us an escape from our sin and a devil's hell. That was the major purpose of his suffering. And remember 1 Peter 2:21, for he even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. We are to suffer for the cause of Christ. We are to suffer to get the gospel out. But you know, a lot of us, when we get out in the public, we won't speak up for Christ. We won't go a little bit of the suffering that might be there, the shame that might come from being a witness for Christ. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. When you think about that, we should be willing to suffer shame for his name. The disciples, Acts chapter 5, verse 41, they were glad that they were able to suffer shame for his name. And if you look at these verses just quickly, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12 and try to run through these very quickly. And I hope you can see this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "In labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it." We're willing to suffer for him. And then he goes on to say, "Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." And Paul beseeches us to be willing to stand for the Lord. Remember what he said in Romans chapter 1. Let's look there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Not ashamed. 1 Timothy 1:12. Back to 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I said 1 Timothy, but it's 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." 2 Timothy 3:12, just over there, page says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him decide that it's not worth it." No. "Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." You see, suffering for Jesus Christ produced the way for all men to be saved. And he learned obedience as an example. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And we should be willing to suffer for him. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13 says this, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, "that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Just like it was for Jesus. He suffered to produce our salvation, but the average Christian today will not suffer very much at all to try to bring others to Jesus Christ. We're not willing to give our lives. We're not willing to humble ourselves and die to self and to realize that our mission is not to fulfill our own desires, but our mission is to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's what we are to be suffering. That it happens. That's what he did. He left us an example. And we should be willing to suffer for him. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18, if you just turn back there and look at these two verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, and if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the glory that was, the joy that was set before him. Someday we are going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to find that to suffer to reach others, to suffer to do the job that he called us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to be witnesses for Christ, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, to share the good news of the gospel, we're going to realize that it'd be worth it all. And just like for Jesus, that he won the victory, we will find that it's worth it to suffer for Christ. Look in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Don't give up. Stay with it. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And then Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 8, starting at verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if I by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. To be willing to suffer for Christ. To be willing to suffer for him, that the gospel might be gotten out. Do you remember what Jesus said? If you don't take up the cross and follow him, you cannot be his disciple. The cross speaks of death. It speaks of suffering. But the average Christian today, oh yes, I'll serve the Lord. I'll live for him. But don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to suffer. Don't ask me to go across the street and talk to my neighbor about the Lord. Or go to the house next door to me or on this side or that side and talk to him about the Lord. I can't do that. I'm too nervous about that. Not willing to suffer for Christ? Not willing to suffer, to talk to those, that to hand out gospel tracts when you go through the stores. Don't do it in an offensive way, but do it in a kind way, a considerate way. So many times, and you know, don't leave tracts laying around, because if you put tracts in stores or in restrooms and all, you're actually littering, because that is littering. Tracts should actually be handed out personally. We should give people, and we should give them a word of encouragement. I hope you'll take this and read it, because it's very important. One of the greatest things I've found in my life, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should be sincere in our witness and say, well, I can't do that. Aren't you willing to suffer? He learned obedience by the things he suffered. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. But yet we don't want to suffer. We want to have Christianity. We want to be saved. We want to have all of these things that we have in Christ Jesus. But we don't want to suffer for him. And so just like Lot, we vex our righteous souls with what all is going around us. And the Lord told us, his Father is glorified that we bear much fruit. And yet we refuse to bear fruit. We refuse to be a witness. And the branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And sometimes, that's why many are weak and sickly among us, and many sleep. Not all suffering, not all sickness comes because of sin or disobedience. Some comes from the glory of God, to make us a better witness, to build us stronger for the Lord, to mature us in the Lord. We are to suffer, Matthew 3:15. We are to suffer to be baptized. Some believers won't get baptized. They don't want to get up in front of the public and be baptized. Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. We need to suffer the humility, the public profession of our faith, of baptism, to give a testimony that we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. We need to suffer the children. Yes, sometimes they get under our feet. Sometimes they have dirty, runny noses, and we have to tend with the children, the nursery, and all those things. But Jesus said, suffer the little children. Be willing to teach Sunday school classes. Be willing to work with the children. We need to, Luke chapter 9, verses 58 to 62, we need to suffer the forsaking of family. Doesn't mean that we don't fulfill our responsibilities, family, but we do not allow family to get in the place of serving God. God has to come first. We suffer shame for his name. We suffer for Jesus Christ. Our purpose in suffering is just the purpose that Jesus had, that we might bring others to Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are we willing to suffer? Well, you take the average church visitation time and you just see how many come out for visitation. Last visitation we had was Pastor Kenny and me. That was it. Some were tied up, I know that, couldn't make it, who would have been there, and I understand that. But what about that? We're not willing to suffer. We can't pull ourselves away from the TV to come out and make a few visits for the Lord. This Saturday, when we go out door knocking, we've got other things that's more important. We can't suffer to go out there and knock on doors. We can't suffer to do that. Boy. What's the matter with us? We're not willing to suffer for his name. He left us an example. I submit to you that if we would learn this obedience and we would be willing to suffer, we would see more fruit. We would see many more of these empty chairs filled. But we're not willing to suffer for His sake. I hope you're challenged today to do more for Jesus Christ, to be willing to suffer for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God, so clear and plain to guide us. We're thankful that the Lord left us the example, suffered so greatly to set us free. Help us to be willing to suffer for His cause, for His sake, that the gospel might get out. Be willing to give of our time, our talents, our treasures, that the gospel could go out. Work on our hearts. Help us to be greater for You. And help us to learn obedience by the things that we suffer. Because when we do, we see, as the book of 1 Corinthians tells us, we see that comfort that You bring. We see that joy that it brings into our hearts when we're willing to suffer for You. Work on us so we might be more for You. And for those who are here and have not come to the truth of the gospel, help them to see the need of Christ and get it settled today. We thank You for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation song. Give you an opportunity today, if you're not sure you're